Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Achrimos, Tavshin Pei Dalid. Again, my throat's a little scratchy and weak, but Hashem Yazor, we'll go as far as we can. So Achrimos starts off with the Avoda of Yom Kippur, as we know, the laning for Yom Kippur morning. We have in the beginning of Achrimos, and we have the Arayas later on. But the beginning of the Parsha, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. We have a reference again to the death of the sons of Aaron. And Rashi already explains, why does it say this? Because Bekarvasam Lefnei Hashem Bayamusu, we're warning that there shouldn't be too much kirva into the Mikdash, and that was the chait, according to one of the opinions, of Nadav and Avihu. And that's what the Rashi quotes, Matam Alomar, why do you have to mention this, the death of the sons of Aaron again? So Matam Alomar, Rabbaz ben Azariah, Moshla Mashal, Lecholish and Ichnas Etzlo Rofe. The Mashal to a Chola, that a doctor went in, Amarlo, Alto Chatzonein, Valtishka Batachav, don't do this. Don't do this behavior. That's one advice that the doctor gives. Ba'acher v'yomar, and the next doctor says, don't do this and don't do that, because if you do, then it'll lead to dying like so-and-so died. That's much more graphic. That's much more touches the person, because you gave an example. So here, when Hashem is about to say, al yavo b'chaleis ala kodesh, don't go into the kodesh without proper license, so it mentions Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. It mentions that to make it a little more graphic and a little more real. But if you look in the Medrash at the beginning of the Parsha, the Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash lists off, and it complements the Gemara, which also talks about the different opinions of what the chait was. What was the chait of, again, this is a Shmini topic, but it's also mentioned here in the Medrash, so we'll talk about it here. What exactly was the chait? So some say they drank wine before going in to do the avoda. And some say, it just says in the Torah, Eish Zara, a strange fire. But some say they paskined without getting permission from Moshe Rabbeinu. And some say they didn't get married. And some say, oh, different opinions. Rav Steinsaltz, in source number one, discusses what exactly is the root of all of these opinions. What is the root of all of these opinions? Chaye Olam, this is one of Rabbi Steinsaltz, it's many svarim. B'divrei Chazal yeshna reshima shlema, shel hesberim, a whole list, ma mesu b'nei Aaron. Heichal mehesberim, akosher mesinyin le'olam shalmata, and va'al hesberim, amyachsan le'sachil, le'sadim el'yonim yoser. Some have mundane sins, and some have, you know, higher sins. They brought an Ezara, a fire that they weren't commanded, shasu yayin, nasu nashim, gasei ruach. Cesar Steinsaltz, in a yesod that we have to remember for life. Habaya shel, line 6. Yesh machaneh meshutaf. There's a common denominator between all of these opinions. Heim asu mashehu, nichnusu ba'atzmam, o hechnisu eish shalo bershus, mitoch tchusha shel kirva yisera. Heim hiskarvu yoser midai. It was too close. They got too close. They felt too comfortable. Says the very scientist, he puts it in a context. Habaya shel kirvas hayeter hi baya matzmedes aver elo she'omdim lefnei Hashem. This is a problem that's unique. We have some Kohanim sitting here in the crowd, right? It's a problem more for Kohanim than for Yisrael. U'b'yetzer eis aver Kohanim misharasi Hashem. Merkazo shel beis hamigdash u'seder ha'avoda. The beis hamigdash is the place of avoda, the place of worship. Hazara, you get closer in, you have the Hazara, you have the courtyard. Ban nimsam is be'acha ola, u'ban erach seder avoda, that's where the avoda takes place. And you get Ezras Yisrael, the first 11 Amos. And then you have the Ezras Kohanim. And then you have the Mizbeach. And then you have the Heichal. And you keep going in and in and in. Kasher Adam mi Yisrael, line 18. If I come to the Beis HaMikdash, I come once, a couple times a year. When I come, it's an experience. I'm not used to it. It's special. It is different. It is not the norm. I get ready. I go to the mikvah four times. I daven. I do my achanis. I check. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. And I come and I have chadras kodesh. Kasher adam yisrael magi lemikdash pamachas beregel o bizman acher hu bala chadras kodesh. But a kohen, come on in. No, he's there. He's there for a couple of weeks out of every year. And after he's been there for a couple of days, he knows the ins and the outs. He knows where the closets are. He knows where they keep the clothing and the fire and the knives. He knows the ins and the outs. It's like his house, so to speak. He's much more comfortable there. And when you're more comfortable in a place, you start a little bit cutting corners. You start a little bit sometimes feeling too comfortable, right? When we're in our own home, it's different than when we're in somebody else's living room. Because we're at home. It's like my house. He's like somebody who lives there. And that's where the danger starts. The danger starts with familiarity. You could Google familiarity breeds. There's like 10, and there's 10 continuations to that sentence, right? Contempt is one, but familiarity breeds. What's the one that I wanted to mention? Comfort. Familiarity breeds comfort and being too relaxed. So it's a little, but the Kohanim have to be there. But we have to recognize. That's the danger. It doesn't mean that the Kohen shouldn't be there. But he has to keep the feeling that it's not his house. And to not diminish the special feeling of the quality of the place. And he says, where do you find this example? You find this numerous times, but you find this by Beferish. Beferish in the Tanakh, Bnei Eli. Bnei Eli, we know, did not follow Eli's path. Right, they were there, but after a while, Chazal add in and Armashlim the Psukim, they took some, they had some meat and they delayed. Some women came to bring karbanos. Okay, we'll get to it tomorrow. We've been in the Beis Hamikdash all day. We'll get to it. They delayed a husband and wife being back together. So they didn't take it as seriously as they should have. The special quality of being an Oved. Line 12, skipped, line 42, I'm sorry. Mitzad zeh, chetom shel bnei Aharon, noveya mikach. All of the sins. They drank a little too much. They felt a little too comfortable. They brought an Ezara. What's explicit. Mikach sheim chayu b'toch hakirva azu. Be'etzem, sheim nechnasim lefnayim lefnim shelo b'rshus. Or they brought an Ezara. Zepam v'sheim margishim chelek b'toch ha'arechas. I could do this. I could take more liberties. I could drink. I could paskin. Right? It was more liberties taken, and that's the problem. Adam Acher, bottom line, Shabbat HaKodesh, Osa HaChanes, V'tov, El Shait Filas. Someone else, you know, goes to the mikvah 100 times. V'gam Acherei calls it, Adayin Margish Ma'od Ma'od Mefuchad. But, you know, others, the Kohanim don't have that. And it was even worse in the Mishkan than it was in the Mikdash. Interesting, says Rav Steinsaltz, line 6. Why? They're traveling. There's an area of sand in the desert. I just walk through it. All of a sudden, the cloud stops. Okay, here's going to be the Kodesh Kodashim. Here? I just walk there. I just pass by. All of a sudden, I can't walk there to sanctity? It's even harder. At least the Beis HaMikdash, there was a spot that you could never go to. But here, B'Mikdash is cheder echad sagur mesugar, Kodesh HaKadoshim. B'mishkan, b'makam kodesh hakadoshim, ha'isa kodem chatichas midbar, k'mon kol chadis es midbar acheres. And all of a sudden the cloud stops. Lefeta netzav, and he tell us a rollah, give us a mishkan, put it up. V'impo b'makom mesu, and then it could go a few feet, and then go up again. So that was the root of the chait. But now our scientist expands this. Right? This is not just for Nadav and Avihu, and not only for Kohanim. It applies to all of us, regarding so much in our lives. It applies to, by the way, Ruchnius and Gashmius and many things. Right? Kasher Nitkal, he says, the first time a person has to deal with death, it's shocking. It's you can't deal, and you can't. First time somebody is, Rachmana Litzlan, an Avel, but slowly, the second time, the third time, things aren't the same. Aren't the same? We get used to things. We get more comfortable. We get more comfortable. And he talks about different examples. Good. And then he talks about the Tehillim, line 28. Malumad Goy Shekasav Sefer al Tanakh. There was a guy that spoke about, oh, this parak of Tanakh is so beautiful. Right, and it could be ones that we say all the time, we just don't think about it. If we were just think about it and focus on it, right, then it would be more sort of meaningful. And he quotes the Kutzker on line 34. Hanoi vahanetzach l'chay olamim. Hanoi, something that's beautiful, vahanetzach, it stays beautiful forever, that's only l'chay olamim, that's only for Hashem. Because with us, beauty wears off. Hanoi, it's not going to be netzach. Because we're not going to think it's so beautiful, you know, all the time. We're going to get comfortable with it. But this applies to mitzvos. We get comfortable with our mitzvahs. You know, you have somebody who is a Baal Tshuva, might be more excited about certain things because they haven't been doing it so long. And it's a new something new until the newness wears off. And so to speak, there's so much kirva, so then it's less exciting. But we have to do our best not to let that happen. Right, like the verse that's said over by many, David HaMelech says, Shifti beveis Hashem and levaker beichalo. Shifty as a yeshiva in a permanent way, but he wants the levaka, he wants it to feel like a beaker. He wants it to feel like a visit, and that's what kohanim always have to have. But that applies also, I might add, to relationships. To a husband and a wife. You know, there's excitement, there's a engagement and marriage and year, and then after years and decades, we're comfortable. And maybe we cut corners, and maybe we take liberties that we would never have taken earlier in the marriage. Maybe we should try to not do that. We should try to make sure to be on our best behavior always, right? To not take things to such a comfort level. Obviously, a certain comfort level is wonderful, like the Sefer Chinuch describes on the mitzvah of Shana Rishona. He talks about the goal of Shana Rishona is to make yourself comfortable with your spouse so that every other person, every other woman, every other man in the world will be considered a stranger. That's true, to reach a certain comfort level, but not such a comfort level like Nadav and Avihu. They took too many liberties. But that's what the Chai Olam, that's what Rabbi Steinzahl teaches us, that in life we have to make sure not to be too comfortable with our mitzvahs, to always keep that excitement, to keep that awe, to keep the awe of every little aspect of our Avodas Hashem. And again, the more we're Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, the greater the danger there is, like that of an Avil, and we have to do what we can to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay, a similar idea, but from a different from a different perspective. But it's a similar idea. A contemporary of Rabbi Steinzahl, Rabbi Lamb. Rabbi Lamb in Drasha L'Doros. First, let's read a Rashi. So we have in the Avoda of Yom Kippur, right, Perek Tezayin, we describe the Kohen Gadol does a lot of the Avoda. It's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Kohen Gadol has to do everything on Yom Kippur, or only the unique Yom Kippur avodos. That's a machlokas Balamar, Ramban, in the beginning of the first page in the Dafei Harif in Meseches Yuma. But the Torah describes here in the avoda, Pasuk Tezayin, V'chiper al HaKodesh mitum os b'nei Yisrael, and he brings the kapara, and he does V'yasala Mizbeach, and after he finishes everything, Uva'aron, Pasuk of Gimel. Uva'aron alo mo'ed, ufashat es bigdei abad. The bigdei abad are the bigdei lavan that he wears inside the Kodesh Kodashim. He takes them off, asher lavash bevo al HaKodesh. V'hini chamsham. And he puts them down. What does that add? Obviously, what's he going to do with them? He puts them there. V'hini chamsham. He leaves them there. So Chazal learn out from this extra phrase, v'hini chamsham, milamed, Rashi quotes it, she'tu'unim geniza. They have to be put into what we call Seamus. They have to be buried. He can't use his same four begadim that he went into the Kodesh Kadashim this year, can't use these begadim next year. Right? The fourth clothing, not the me'il. The me'il he does not wear in. That's not one of the big day lavan. There's only one me'il, there's only one tzitz. Right? But his avnet and his michnasayim, and his, he can't wear them next year. You have to put them into Seamus. The question is why? What? They're expensive. Right? So why can't he just wear the same begadim next year? What does he have to? Every year, the Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Gadol for 30 years. Every year, he has to get a new big day lavan for the Yom Kippur Avoda. Why? Explains Rabbi Lamb. And he gave this drasha. I always like to see, because in the drash l'doros, he always says when he gave these drashas. April 28th, 1973. That's when he gave this drasha. All the drushes are from the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. So April 1973, right, a couple of months after the Yom Kippur War. Says Rabbi Lamb, this Rashi discusses for us and highlights for us the balance of what we might call tradition in creativity. You turn the page for a second to page 3. Rabbi Lamb writes, a perusal of the first part of today's Sedra impresses us with the Torah's powerful insistence upon observing every jot and title of the tradition. You don't get more objective and details needed than the Avodah Yom Kippur. You mess up one detail, the whole thing doesn't work. And there's a Chi of Misa in certain cases. Thus, the Yom Kippur service of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash is set forth in the greatest detail, with constant and reiterated warnings that the slightest deviation from the prescribed ritual is a disaster. Any change is calamitous. The Avodah symbolizes we have to do exactly what we're told to do, what our forefathers did, what our grandparents did. And yet, what does the Torah say? He can't wear the same begadim next year. What's the message for us? It's got to be a different Avodah next year. It's the same exact Avodah. No, different. New clothing. New inside. Different. They cannot be used again. Why? They were costly linen garments. Why waste them? See, he quotes an answer from Rav Mordechai HaKohen. With all the concern of the Torah for the prescribed ritual and the unchanging tradition, the Torah very much wanted us to avoid the danger of routine. Again, Rabbi Steinsaltz spoke about familiarity, so this is all different. Just hergel. It considered boredom and rote as poison to the spirit and soul. So yes, every single detail. You can't lose a little bit of the ketores or of the any of the other avodas, the blood, in the hope that the outward novelty will inspire and evoke from within the Kohen Gadol an inner freshness and enthusiasm. Different clothing, every year different, within the construct of the Avodah. And that's what he says on the top right. What I think is the authentic Jewish view on our problem of tradition and change is this dual approach. Insisting upon the unchanging framework of action, the fixed patterns of activity being transmitted from generation to generation. We eat the same matzah and shake the same lulav. And the shofar, we do the same rituals. But every year, even within our own lives, especially generations earlier, demanding at the same time that inwardly we always bring a new spirit, a new insight, a new intuition into what we're doing. Outward practice, custom prevails. Inner experience, only novelty and growth. And that's what he says. You find this all over. In tefillah, every mitzvah, kavana, the experience should be different. Right? The Gemara says in one place that every tefillah, there's never been, he quotes later on from the Arizal, there's never been a prayer, two prayers in the history of the world that have been identical. Think about one person. There's never been a duplicate tefillah that we have had in our lives. The thousands of tefillahs that we have davened. There's never been two that's the same. The exact kavana and the exact experience. And then every Jew. And every Jew in the history of the world. There's never been two tefillos that have been the same. What do you mean? They say the same words. We say the same words that were said hundreds of years ago. Doesn't matter. The words, the outward is the same. But the inside should be a different experience. Every year we perform the same seder. But our tradition challenges us to pour new meaning into the old form. Every Jewish wife and mother lights candles Friday after womb in the same way every week of her life. It is her great opportunity to offer her own personal, even wordless prayer to her Creator. Right? Every man wears tefillin every day, but it should be a different experience. This should be a novelty. Benching when we offer the blessing on bread. We say the same words, but we ought to vary the melody in order to challenge us or to think about it. If we would hear what we're saying, if we would focus on what we were saying, then, you know, we'd say it slower. Maybe that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Something to slow us down. But that's what Rabbi Lam says. This little detail of halacha, he can't wear the same begadim, that opens up a whole new understanding and appreciation of all of our avodas Hashem. But that's what Rabbi Lam says. Turning the page now to the continuation of the thought, that's where he talks about the tefillah. Talks about the from the Arizal. In prayer, perhaps, in the middle of the page. In prayer, perhaps, above all else, we find the Jewish penchant for tradition and the acceptance of tried and tested formula. We use the same words because they were written by the Nevi'im. They were written by the Ashkenaz HaGadola. But there's space within, we know, the Amida to add in our own words and even saying their words. There's different kavanah. Sometimes different phrases catch us. And we're like, oh, right? It connects to us, even though earlier it didn't. And that's what he says. We have to make sure that we keep things fresh and new. Again, similar to Rabbi Steinsaltz says, familiarity. Rabbi Lam says, you know, rote and habit could cause the problem. And we have to do what we can to put on new clothes every Yom Kippur. And we could just say, we have to put on new clothes every time we daven. Every time we daven, we can't wear the clothes that we wore, you know, last tefillah. Right? You might have separate special davening clothes. It's got to be a new experience. Has to be a different experience each time, as much as we can. Okay, moving right along. Towards the end of the Avoda, the Pasuk says, remember we mentioned in past years the Vilna Gaon's thought, his comment that the Torah Shebechsav does not mention the word Yom Kippur until the end of the section. Right, the whole it just says Bezos Yavo Aaron Al HaKodesh. This is how you go into the Kodesh Kodashim. You do the whole Avodah, and then at the end it says, do this on Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon held that this Avodah could be done, or possibly could be done, whenever the Kohen Gadol wanted to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Bizos Yavar Aaron Al HaKodesh. We have to do it on Yom Kippur. But maybe he could have done it on other days. But that's not the understanding of Chazal. We assume that this was only allowed on Yom Kippur. But towards the end, we have the pasuk that talks about the kapara. V'haisa lachem l'chukas olam l'chaper al bnei Yisrael mikol chadosam achas bashana. Once a year, we have this kapara. So in the Apirion, which is Rosh Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, his commentary on Chumash, so he quotes on this pasuk the Medrash. This medrash partly is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The medrash says, on Motzoi Yom Kippur, there is a bas kol that goes out that we don't hear. But if we maybe listen closely in our mind's eye, we'll hear it. Our neshama will hear it. Bas kol yotzei v'yomer, lech echol b'simcha lachmecha, go and eat your bread in simcha, ushtei b'lei v'tom v'yenecha, and drink your wine, ki kvar ratzel l'kim es masecha. Because Hashem has already been happy with your actions. Right, that's the quote in Shulchan Aruch. They go home after Yom Kippur and enjoy. Enjoy and have a simcha. So the Apirion is bothered by one word in this Medrash, which is on the Pasuk that talks about Yom Kippur. What Hashem has already been happy with your actions. What's the kvar? Kvar. Hare, no, it just happened. Just now we got kapara, right, by Ne'ilah. We just got kapara now. What does it mean? The Pasuk goes down and says, oh, don't go eat. Hashem is already sounds like it happened earlier. What's the kfar? Hari ach hayom haisazos. Just today. So here we go. Says the Apirion. This is a pyramid, building blocks, two or three steps. Step number one. Hine makshem ayediyav avachira. He says the first issue to remember is the discussion of the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Tshuva, where the Rambam brings up the question, and the Ravid says, I don't like the Rambam's answer. He says, you shouldn't have even brought up the question. And the Rambam obviously feels he gave a good answer. How do we have free choice, and Hashem still knows beforehand? Right, the question of Yediya and Bechira. Right, Elachora, Nirikas Osrin. If Hashem knows beforehand, then I don't have a free choice. And if he doesn't know that's, see, he's not omniscient. See, he quotes, no, Shneim MS. No, Hashem knows before. He's watching, but we still have free choice. And he gives the mashal, which we've given in the past, but he doesn't say about a video. But he says, Derech mashal, Ruve mashke barach alone. Reuven is watching out a window what Shimon is doing on the street. Does Shimon have free choice? Yes. Does Reuven see exactly what's going on? Yes. Reuven's re'iyah is not machria. Reuven just sees it. I'll just add a little bit, because this mashal doesn't really explain the future. But the mashal that I've given in the past, that I've heard, is that you're watching a video from something that happened yesterday. So I'm watching. Does the person have free choice to do what he does in the video? Yes. He has free choice, but I know what's going to happen. I know if I'm watching a game from yesterday, I know if he's going to get a score, hit the shot, because it happened yesterday. But I'm outside of time. Hashem is outside of the timeline. So you can't ask the question of how does he know beforehand. There is no before when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's off of the timeline. Okay, but that's the Yisod that we believe in. That's one of the Ani Mamins, that we have Schar Va'onesh, which means free choice. But we also know that Hashem knows beforehand. Fine. Yediya is not Machria, the Bechira. He just notes in the Haggah that he quotes from another Rav, the Beis Aron. He says maybe this is alluded to in the piyut that we'd say. Hatzofel LaRasha V'chafetz B'hit Tzadko. Hatzofel LaRasha. Hashem watches and knows what the Rasha is going to do. But still Chafetz B'hit Tzadko. He still hopes that he's righteous. Meaning Hashem's knowledge of what the Rasha is going to do does not impact on the choice that the Rasha has. Chafetz B'hit Tzadko. Okay. So that's step number one. Step one is Yediya. Does not mashpia on the Bechira. Step number two, he quotes a medrash. The Pasuk says, in the beginning of Bechukosai, in Bechukosai Teleichu, if we follow Hashem's ways, v'nasati gishmechem be'itam, I will give you your rain. Gishmechem. What does it mean, your rain? V'nasati geshem. What's Gishmechem? So he connects it to the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that one time, where is the Medrash? He quotes it here, right here, the Alpi Maisa of Alexander Mukton. Alexander the Great. He is talking to the Rabbanan, and they say, Shim Hanashim and Ruyim. He says, if the people aren't worthy of rain, it's still going to rain, but it's going to be Bezchus the animals. It's not going to be Bezchus the people. If the Jews and if the people are worthy, then it's going to be for them. If not, Hashem's not going to change nature over it. He's going to get it Bezchus the animals. Says the Medrash, and that's in Bezchus HaTeilecha V'nasati Gishmechem, your rain. If you follow Hashem's path, then the rain's going to be in your Bezchus. All the brachas are going to be for you. Gishmechem Be'itam. So that is Bezchus Shalachem. That's step number two. Step number two is, if we deserve it, it'll be our rain. But if it's for the animals, that's pretty embarrassing, right? That's called, what the man is called, lechem de, he calls it on the top, de ksifa, embarrassing bread, because we didn't do anything for it, right? So if we get it, bezchus the animals, that doesn't feel so good. Doesn't feel so good. We want to get it because we earned it. Fine. Those are the two points we said. Yediya is not Machriya the Bechira. And number two, this story with the Medrash and Alexander the Great and Gishmechem. So now says the Apirya on the top of the next column, Umeata, Ha'ish HaNilvav, after Yom Kippur, we are so excited. We did tshuva. We repented for everything. Kashabo Yom Kippur HaKadosh. Fu no sein el libo ki hir balach tov hashah. Now we think we realize all the sins that we did. Fu tshav b'tshuva shleima karev hachanachon. And we did tshuva. Fu batuach b'chazi Hashem Yisbaruch. We're batuach. Hashem forgave us. And now what happens? I come home, and I'm about to eat the food that I bought on Erev Yom Kippur. I'm about to drink the wine that I got, not bezchus me, because all the things that I did wrong last year before Yom Kippur, that's when I got this food. So it's nama de kisufa. It's somewhat sad, because it's after Yom Kippur, I feel great that I got rid of my averis, but all this food I'm about to partake in, it's not gishmechem. Right, because it was from before. But Motzo Yom Kippur, Kasha Yeshev al Hashulchan, Lechol, V'yitin alibo ichyarav li Lechol. How is it going to be so sweet for me to eat? Av Sha'ata, ani tzadik gamur. Hashem is mochel me, I'm a tzadik gamur. Aval hare b'shoa shahalechem azeh gadal azah yisi rasha. When the wheat which this bread came from grew, I was a rasha, and it wasn't because of me. Im kem agshamim lo yoredu b'schusi v'lo b'schus ha-behemus. How could I be happy? What does the Apirion say? That's not to worry. Because what does tshuva do? Tshuva, first of all, takes everything away and changes even the past. But Hashem knew that we would do tshuva. And if Hashem knew that we would do tshuva, then even originally, the wheat was for us. Because the sins he knew would be erased. His yediyah is not machriya the bechira. He knew our sins would be erased, so it was really gishmeichem. What does the medrash say? What does the pasuk say? What does the baskol say? Kivar ratz elokim es ma'asecha. Already. In the past. Because of tshuva, that's how it already did it way beforehand. Amnam be'emes emes eshem chshash, line 16. This is what we call a harifus. Puts everything together. Me'achar sha'yom asa tshuva karo'i. Once he does tshuva today, Harei Kadosh Baruch Hu ra'a, Hashem knew that would happen, v'yada zos mitchila, and he knew that originally, ki asa desh hazeh, li'o sadik adei tshuvaso, v'yem kein, gam ha'geshamim b'tzidkaso yeredu. Once you did it, and that's leich echo b'simcha, be b'simcha. Be b'simcha dafka, not just go eat. Be besimcha, don't be embarrassed. Besimcha, beli shum atzvis. Why? Because go eat lachmecha, yeinecha. It's your bread. It's your wine. Like gishmechem. It's yours. It was bischuschem. Because once you do tshuva, Hashem knew that was going to happen. And therefore, even originally, Hashem made it come down and made it grow. Bischus our efforts. Unbelievable. So that's the kvar, that one word kvar. He built a whole thought based on that one word kvar, and it also helps with lachmecha and yeinecha. And it connects to gishmechem, and it connects to Alexander Mokton, v'chul. Okay. So let's move on now to the next part of the parsha. We have Shchut Echutz and the Perek Yud Ches. We have a couple of general psukim. Don't be like the Mitzriim. Don't be like the Canaanites, uvechu koseim lo seilechu, right? Don't follow their chukim. And then the pasuk says, yud zayin dalet. We're going to have a couple of thoughts on these two psukim. Es mishpatai tasu veschu kosai tishmeru lo leches bohem, ani Hashem elokeichem. Do my mishpatim and guard my chukim. Interesting, different verb that's used. By mishpatim, it says do. Chukim, it says guard. Guard is usually a losa, say, are mishpatim aseis? Lav dafka. Right, mishpatim is lav dafka aseis and losa aseis, but interesting. Mishpatai tazav et chukai tishma. But we know generally, mishpatim and chukim are categorized as mishpatim, laws that have a certain inner logic that we can understand, and chukim, which are beyond human logic. Not that they don't have logic, the Hashem has a logic to them, but they're beyond human logic. That's chukim and mishpatim. Rav Salvechik here, and you have it there, source number 7, says that really, chok has two elements to it, and they're connected. When we speak about chukim and mishpatim, right, he quotes Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Chukas on Paraduma, that a chok is something that the Umos Ha'olam make fun of us about, right? They taunt Israel. What are you doing? This is beyond human comprehension, ridiculing its irrationality. The observant Jew accepts the Torah even as a patient follows the prescription of his doctor. I am not a doctor. I have many doctors in my family. If they'll tell me something medical, I'll do it. I want to understand how it works and why it works. And don't try to even start explaining it to me. Right? I don't know. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But that type of emunah, so it's a chok to me how these medicines work. But you know what? But I know they have my best health in their mind. That's exactly what we have to know from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These chukim are also part of our spiritual medicine. Taking complex medications and submitting to the required surgical procedures. We may seek to understand and make all possible inquiries, but ultimately we accept it on faith. And says the Rav, chok has two characteristics that are connected to each other. The first is its universal immutability. The fact that a chok is independent of situational factors. A chok means forever. A chok means eternal. It's not dependent on situations. It's not dependent on moods, changing philosophies and ideologies, or shifting practical and economic conditions. All these have no effect or bearing on a chok, which persists and retains its value under all circumstances. Right? This is a chok. It is eternal. The Rav continues on the next page. This is connected to its root. Etymologically, the root chok is from the word chakak, to be engraved. When something is written, it can be erased. When something is engraved in a rock, it's forever. It's forever. Signifies the act of carving, engraving, making incisions in a hard surface, such as stone or metal. And that's what a chok is. Its perpetual validity is engraven in the rock forever. That's message one. He also says that we have psukim in Tanakh that talk about rules of nature, our chukim. Chok nasan velo yavor. Nature. Unless Hashem decides to change things once every thousands of years, but there are rules of nature. Nature's laws are also chukim, unalterable and universal. The same legislator instituted both systems of law, governing physical nature as well as man's deportment, v'chulu. But this nature is reliable and predictable, and its laws are universally valid. So message number part one of chok is eternal. Part two of chok is incomprehensible. Beyond human comprehension. It demands the surrender of one's mind and the suspension of one's thinking. A total commitment, precisely because it requires an abdication of one's reason. And he says, the commitment of a child to his parents, however fervent, is not total. It's rooted in the family setting and many qualifications and reservations. A parent's commitment to a child is more absolute than a child to a parent. One direction is instinctive and total. It is irrational and therefore not contingent or conditional. The reason for chok remains a mystery. So these two are connected. If something is beyond our rationality, then obviously it's forever because nothing's going to change based on my understanding. If something was based like a mishpat, then it doesn't apply here and times have changed. If there's any way that I can explain something and explain it away. And he says, laws based on intellect are vulnerable to modification, correction, or reinterpretation. The history of science is a chronicle of the construction and destruction of ideas, theories, affirmations, and negations. You think something in science? Wait 50 years. They'll disprove it. They'll say the opposite. This is good for you. This is bad for you. This is how this works. This is how that works. Every 50 years, every 100 years, there's new ideas in science. So a chok is unalterable and it's forever because it's immutable and because it's beyond our comprehension. Those two go together. And what is this pasuk saying? We have to do both. We have to have our avoda of chukim and mishpatim in the same way. Just like chukim are by definition unalterable and forever, so too are mishpatim. We can't try to use our own logic to change or to limit those types of laws. Okay. Some major psukim we have here. We just had, I mentioned before, Chusem Loselechu. But then at the end of this pasuk, pasuk Dalid, we have Mishpatim and Chukim mentioned. Pasuk Hey, Chukim and Mishpatim, the opposite. And then we have Ushmartim is Chukasayim is Mishpatim, Asher Yaso Sam HaAdam, Vachai Bohem, Ani Hashem. Vachai Bohem. So what does Vachai Bohem mean? So we know Vachai Bohem from the Gemara in Yuma. Daf Pehe, Vachai Bohem means Veloshe Yamas Bohem. That means all averis besides the big three are violated to save a life. V'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamas b'hem. Meaning v'chai b'hem tells me to live in olam hazeh. V'chai b'hem is the makar to violate Shabbos, Kashrus, Shatnez, and almost all other averis besides the big three to save a life. But if you look in Rashi, v'chai b'hem here, l'olam haba. L'olam haba. That's what it's referring to. What do you mean? Olam Hazeh? You're going to live forever? No. It has to be talking about Olam Haba. Right? That's what Rashi says on this pasuk. And Unkelus. L'chaye Alma. L'chaye Alma. Say, ask the Nesiv Shalom, ask the Slanim Rebbe, how do we put together Chazal and Yuma Pehei that V'chaye Bohem is talking about Olam Hazeh V'chaye Bohem and Rashi? And uncle is that it's talking about Olam Haba V'chai Bohem. How do you put those two together? L'char pirushim elu sosrim zeh et zeh. D'lefi drashas chazal, based on chazal, v'chai b'em koyal kiyam ha-mitzvahs. V'lefi ha-targum, Rashi is going on schar in olam haba. Explains the Nesiv HaShalom, using a little Jewish license. Elu v'elu debir l'kim chayim. Got to put it together. Got to put it together. Shevachai bohem, and this relates, this connects back to the first two thoughts we said also. A couple of thoughts are related. Vachai bohem kolam b'mashbu tud beis devarim. It's two elements. Shereishis inyan vachai bohem hainu b'kiyam ha-mitzvahs sheyekaimon b'chayis. You got to do mitzvahs lively, in an alive way. Vachai bohem, in this world, in olam hazeh, do mitzvahs with a chiyus, with a fire. Shekol mitzvah sheyehudi mekayem yekayma bihislavus ubechiyus kol agufa heivarim, with one's whole mahus, with whole body. Bebechinas kol atmos hay tamar nashem yichamocha, our whole guf, our whole body has to be into the mitzvah. Those who say l'shem yichuds talk about all the mitzvahs relating to each mitzvah. Right? Every mitzvah, if we do a mitzvah with our whole essence, with our whole body, with our guf and nesham, our whole focus, that's how we have to do mitzvahs. V'chai bohem. All the mishpatim and the chukim, be alive with them. Tzorach yehudi lashkiyas kol mahuso v'chiyuso. Don't do a mitzvah in a dead fashion, in a dry fashion. We could do a mitzvah dry and like we're sleeping. Like, are we alive? Is there a fire in us when we do the mitzvahs? Says that's in this world. But if we do that, that'll lead to v'chayil b'hem in olam haba. Because there's an exact parallel. Because we do the mitzvah, we're going to go to olam haba. But are we going to get a geshmak out of our olam haba? Are we going to enjoy it? Depends if we enjoyed it in this world. Depends if we try to enjoy it and do it with a fire in this world. He says, he quotes from the one of the rebbes. Ki achrizu shesham yirizu b'shamayim sheyudim mekayim b'satorah v'mitzvahs. V'shomer shabbos achol tiktukim. If somebody does every single mitzvah, but he does it in a dry fashion. He does it without feeling and realizing the schus it is to do mitzvos. He doesn't feel the tainug, then he's not going to have the tainug then. Because it's a parallel. Ki ha-tainug shal gan eden shebo tzadikim yoshvim. Vatroseim rasheyem nimshach mea tainug v'achiyah sheizu dibikim mitzvos olam hazeh. Look, Shabbos is 1/60th of olam haba. So if we don't realize the gavus of Shabbos, then olam haba is just times 60. So if we touch, if we're nogeya in the tainug, then we could be connected to it. It says, the v'chai b'hem, if we're alive in our mitzvahs in this world, that'll give us life in the next world as well. And that's what he says on the left side. And what's in this pasuk, though? Not just the mishpatim. That maybe it's easier to do with a chiyus, with a fire. But it's also the mishpat, also the chukim. V'edgisha Torah kan, ushmartem es chukosai, chukos hainu shetayma mena musag. Even though you can't know the reason, the Torah says, even if you can't know the reason, you know what? But Hashem tells you to do it. And you know it's giving Hashem nachas ruach. And you know this is what Hashem wants you to do. That itself should give us an enjoyment. Voseo, right, sometimes if you're it feels good to do something. If you know somebody feels good when you do a mitzvah for them, for a parent, for a grandparent, for a friend, like it feels good. So Hashem feels good if I do something. There's nothing greater than that. Shoseo rak mishum shezer ratzon Hashem. Gam ba'em yelo tainug. Shemei etzem adover she'oses ratzon Hashem. Yelo es melo atam v'chiyus. That should be the greatest gift. So v'chai bohem leads to v'chai bohem. Again, there are many other connections of that and the interpretations of that pasuk. Remember the Zohar that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim likes to quote in many of his svarim about how every mitzvah saseh is connected to one of the 248 gidin, or one of the evarim, and each of the 365 lo saseh is connected to a different day of the year, and every limb screams out, do the mitzvah, and that will give that limb nourishment forever. So it's so that's v'chai bohem. If we do the mitzvahs, we'll live in the next world because that's nourishing the limbs that we are giving spiritual food to. Okay. We continue one more v'chai bohem. One more thought on the Chai Bohem from the Chavetz Chaim. The story. So the Chavetz Chaim was once in the city during the Yerid, during the Shuk. Vishama Yehudi Yaga Sha'avad Eitzel Balabayis, and he saw during the marketplace, they used to call it Leipzig, that was the place where in Germany where the marketplaces were. So he overheard, Chavetz Chaim was walking, and he overheard a worker say to the owner, you know, it didn't go the whole year. It was like certain months or weeks out of the year that it was open. Matai eske kfar sheirid yagil kitzo. When is the market going to be over already? I'm exhausted. Nafshi kfar sheoves l'menucha. I just need a rest. When is it going to be over already? Ki eirid ashatia yinimshach sham arba shvot tmimim. Okay, 4 weeks. When is it going to be over? He says to his employer. So the employer, the balabayas, hears the word and he says, Eilecha shota. What are you, fool? Mazos ha-tadaber. What are you saying? Halavai v'yamshach ha-yirid zman yosef ha-mushach. I wish it went for 2 months. I wish it went longer. You're saying, I wish it was over. Whatever we make in this month, that's it for the year. That's our revach. You're saying, I wish it was shorter? I wish it was longer. Amnam ata, yeah, you're tired. I appreciate that you're tired. Ulam b'revachim. In profits, tuchal lichyos lachar mikam b'mnucha. If all the profits we're going to make in these extra days of work, no, it's going to be worthwhile. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim overheard, and the Chavetz Chaim says, "I guess I overheard that for a reason." But the Baal Shem Tov says, "Everything we hear, everything we see, was for a reason." So the Chavetz Chaim said, "Right." Sometimes we say, "Oh, it's so hard, it's so much effort." This world is the Yerid. This world is the shuk. It's the marketplace, right? We want it to be as long as possible in order to create our profits for the time of enjoyment. Kedai lo Yehudi sheyisayef. A Yehudi could get tired. Lo yochav lo isha gogad. He won't eat enough. He won't sleep enough. The yogur b'mizdaron b'meshakot tkuf as yirid. Let him live in a hallway the whole time of the yirid because He'll make the profits during that time, right? The Chavetz Chaim, he's the one with the story. I'm just passing through, right? Where's your furniture? Where's your furniture? I'm just passing through. So am I. That's the Yerid. That's what he learned from this pasuk of Vachai Bohem. We have to recognize what it's about. Okay, one final thought. We just started in Yoni, Yemei Asfira. So I just got somebody... showed me and got for me Torah Savigdor, two volumes they just put out from Torah Verva Vigdor Miller on Ala Torah. So here in our Parsha, in Achremos, he taught this last piece is about Yemei Asfira. Somebody asked him, why do we call it Sfira Sa'omer? Well, the Sfira of the Omer, such an... we don't call it Sfiras Matan Torah, Sfira Shvuas, Sfiras Ha'omer. What's the message of that? See, he says, I can't tell you ultimately what the message is, but I can just tell you some things we can learn. Simlev, lomrocha sviri hi limnos kama yamim yesh ala matan Torah. Yes, we're counting towards matan Torah, but anachlo sofrim kama yamim nosru. We don't say how many days left. We say how many days from the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer is what allowed us to start eating from the new grain. That was a very important Karban. Very important Karban. Because they needed to eat. So nowadays it goes by the morning of the next day. But the says Rav Victor Miller, you know, as a preparation to Maimad Har Sinai, Sfira Sa'omer teaches us that we have to have Hakaras HaTov for all the physical gifts that Hashem has given us. Emein Kamachin Torah. Every physical gift. Rav Pinkus writes in one of his Sfarim, you ever go to the pantry? It's full. It's full, but the thing that you're looking for is not there. You're like, I can't believe it. We have no food in the house. Rav Pinkus says, every time you go to the pantry, you should start saying hallel. No, most times in Jewish history, they didn't have a tenth of the pantry that we have. Or the refrigerator. You open up the fridge, you should start singing hallel. Takarish Baruch Hu. Says Rav Pinkus, the first step in appreciating spiritual gifts is appreciating the physical gift. Maybe that's a little easier for us, the physical gifts. But if we don't appreciate the physical gifts, then we're never going to get to that next step. That's why, for 7 weeks, remember the Omer. Remember the Omer. The Omer is the food. The Omer is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Karban HaOmer Nikrav Kahoda Lashem al Shebachasto Hagado Huzon Umefarnes Lachol Briyosav. Hashem gives us, Hashem sustains us. He gets everything ready for every Nivra, for every big animal, small animal. And he says in from Pirkei Avos, "Ein kemachim ein Torah." Rav Avigdor Miller is one. If you ever heard, I've only heard a couple of his shirim. Once heard him give a shir. He spoke for about 20 minutes about an apple, about how amazing an apple is, and the energy that is in one apple, and even in a seed. You take one little apple seed, and you put it into the ground, and that could develop an apple tree with how many apples on that apple tree? Hundreds and thousands of apples. And so this one tiny seed has the energy to produce thousands of apples. And each of those seeds and those apples can... It's mind-boggling. The power of one little apple seed. We have to appreciate every little element. And why is it red? I remember he said, why are apples like shiny red or green? Why aren't they like brown like the potatoes are? Because he says, because most fruit that are edible as is, they're shiny, as if to say, Hashem is inviting me. The ones that are, that you don't really eat raw, they're dirtier, not just because they grow on the ground, but they're not as inviting. Every little part of nature is there to give us hana'a, to fit to our needs. And the more we study it, the more we could appreciate it. So again, this is what we have to think about. One of the elements of Sfiras HaOmer is to appreciate the physical gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and then we'll be able to appreciate our spiritual gifts as well. Okay, we will stop here.